Welcome back to On the Record. I'm Sheila Cast. Manufacturing jobs have been a shrinking part of the U.S. economy for four decades, but over the next decade, 2 million manufacturing jobs will go begging, according to a 2015 report by industry nonprofit The Manufacturing Institute. Jobs unfilled because not enough workers will have the technical skills demanded for today's manufacturing. One nonprofit in Baltimore's Park Heights neighborhood is trying to fill that gap by helping low-income adults gain the skills required for modern careers in manufacturing or construction. JARC Baltimore, that's the Jane Addams Resource Corporation, launched in April 2015. It offers courses on the fundamentals of manufacturing, welding, and computer numerical control machining. The site director of JARC Baltimore is with us, Elaine Carroll. Welcome to On the Record.
Hi, Sheila. Thank you.
What kind of demand is there in Baltimore for these jobs?
Quite a large demand. You have small and medium manufacturing companies here in Maryland, quite a few. You have construction happening in various different parts of the city and the state. Right now, the need for welders and the need for machinists is high. And especially in manufacturing, there is an aging out process happening. Those jobs are not being filled by younger folks. So the average age worker is 57 years old. And that person may have been with this company for 20 or 30 years. Maybe considering retiring soon, and maybe taking all that knowledge with them.
And you say these jobs are not being filled by younger workers.
Not according to my conversations with manufacturers in Maryland. It's rather hard to entice younger individuals into these positions who have the skill and then are able to stay and commit. They're great jobs, looking for entry-level skills, which we provide, not always looking for a higher education, and can tend to look at background differently than you would if you were going into healthcare or if you were going into IT. So it's really ripe for some young individuals, especially for the population that we're serving who are low income and who have multiple barriers to employment. So bringing in that younger population, giving them a skill, getting them in with companies, and having them there for years so that they can learn that product, they can stay with that company and grow, and they can continue training that person, that's key.
What types of manufacturing jobs does JARC train people for?
Specifically, we have our training programs in computer numerical control, or CNC, machine operation.
What is that?
So if you go about your day, go and look around at that door, or look at these chairs that you're sitting on, or the microphone, and any of these parts that you're wondering where they came from, well, they may have been machined, and they may have been mass-produced by somebody who's running that machine, a machine operator. Program, setup, and operation, those are the three components of running those kinds of machines to produce whatever product they are producing. We train people about 20 weeks in CNC, to get them ready to have enough skill to find an entry-level position. And generally, they'll be operating that machine. You know, there's a pretty clear individual that we see that goes into CNC, more analytical.
And someone comfortable with math?
Maybe.
Not necessarily?
Not necessarily. People end up becoming comfortable with math because we teach it in a way that is contextualized to what they're doing. And they're excited about their career. And it doesn't seem so scary, even though they end up doing a little bit of trigonometry. And, you know, it's amazing to see the process. Somebody who may have come in, we do administer an adult learning test first. So if you test at least a fifth grade reading and math level, we can have you come in to the next step of the program. If you're accepted, and you're between that fifth and eighth grade reading and math level, we have a fundamentals of manufacturing program. And you'll go there and you'll be bridged to get that math and reading level up to around a ninth, tenth for CNC, 11th grade knowledge so that you can get into your track and start doing the work. And we have a lot of success using that contextualized approach, you know, meeting people where they are and using the tools that they're going to be using when they're getting their skills to make that bridge. And then for our welders, the math is not as intensive, but you will be and you must be prepared to be wearing a lot of equipment, being outside in the elements, being asked to do multiple different jobs, not just welding. If you're going onto a construction site, you could be asked to do a number of different kinds of job duties.
Is the training free?
It is.
To anyone?
Yes. Our mission is that people who work should not live in poverty. So the mission of our organization is to help people who are unemployed, underemployed, low income, facing a number of obstacles, giving them a skill.
The obstacles we hear very often about in Baltimore are people who have a criminal record. Mm-hmm. How does that affect whether they can take this kind of training?
We do not deny people who have a criminal background from applying or being accepted to our program. Unfortunately, though, if you have a sex offense, you cannot be eligible for our program.
That's Elaine Carroll, site director of the nonprofit JARC Baltimore, here on The Record on WYPR. We're talking about manufacturing jobs that may go wanting for lack of skills. How many students have you graduated?
About 60. And that number continues to climb because the need is there. That doesn't mean that we've only had 60 people complete the program. People do end up running into other obstacles. It's not enough to give somebody a skill or the work readiness. We understand that life is still going to happen. Things are going to happen. Just because you're trying to change your life and you're trying to do something doesn't mean that the things that have been barriers before go away. We still understand and will always be there for our trainees. We ask them to come back when they run into problems.
Give me an example of the kind of barrier that pops up that a trainee may have thought was in the past.
One would be you're going through your training program and you get evicted. So you're coming here every day, you're dedicated, and then you find yourself homeless. That can be an incredible barrier to anybody, much less somebody who is putting all their daily efforts and resources into getting to a training program every day.
But you mentioned income supports.
Yes.
Do your trainees, are they paid while they learn?
They're not. But what we do is every person who comes through our program and is accepted will meet with a benefits specialist. And we partner with the Baltimore Cash Campaign to do this service. So they will meet with that person. They'll be screened for whatever government benefits they may be eligible for. So we can leverage those kinds of resources so that the person who's not being paid for 4 to 6 months can then have a little bit of support to get through that time. Transportation is kind of staring us in the face as a major barrier to once people are job ready. You can get around in the city if you don't have a car, but not all of the jobs are in Baltimore City. So you're very limited once somebody gets certified, when somebody's job ready and they're looking for placement. And there's a great job in Anne Arundel County paying $20 an hour that person can't get to. It's a major barrier to somebody who could have an opportunity somewhere else. We have to provide transportation for our training program. We provide bus passes and gas cards because we understand what a huge barrier transportation is. We don't provide a stipend. As I said, we don't provide any other kind of monetary resource other than transportation. You know, we expect people to be there on time every day, no exceptions. We really do simulate that work environment. No call, no show, you're out. It's a high accountability environment.
No call, no show, you're out.
You're out. That's what's going to happen on the job. I would like to put a plug in for Vehicles for Change. They have been an incredible partner in helping us get people cars. They operate on donations. So people who are job ready, who are about to move on to that next step, who would qualify for a car through Vehicles for Change, they can only get one if they have them available. So we need people to donate their cars to Vehicles for Change so more people coming out of training programs can get that kind of transportation that they need for a life-changing opportunity.
The jobs that you're training these trainees for, why do you believe these jobs will withstand the spread of automation?
When you look at manufacturing construction, you kind of look at a need that's never really going to die. It may become more high-tech, and that is true. That is happening, especially in Baltimore and
Maryland. Why especially here?
You have a lot of high-tech anchor institutions. You have a lot of government defense contracts. You're close to D.C. The type of manufacturing tends to be just more high-tech, more highly skilled. And that's also part of JARC's mission, is to evolve. So we do look at any ability we have to bring in new kinds of training materials. You know, we have somebody on our staff who has been in the manufacturing community for over 30 years. And he knows a lot of people in that community, and he's been able to get donations from some of our employer partners for measuring equipment. We would love to be able to have a 3D printer. You know, people are not going to come out of our program getting a job 3D printing, but if they can touch that machine, you know, they can put that on their resume that they have a little bit of experience.
What is the limiting factor on what you can do? What limits how many people you can train?
We do have an instructor ratio. So it's 15 people to one instructor in CNC and 14 trainees to one instructor in welding. We need to keep the quality high of the skill training that we're doing, specifically because we do want people to evolve with the changing technology, robotics, 3D printing. You know, when people are getting a strong foundation in those trades, you're going to look at somebody who's going to be seen by their employer as an investment. And they may invest in them, help them learn how to fix the robotics. There's mechanical maintenance. There's all kinds of other jobs that individuals could evolve into.
I really appreciate you telling us about it. Thank you.
Sure. Thank you for having me.
Elaine Carroll is site director for JARC Baltimore. We'll link to more information about JARC Baltimore from our site at wypr.org. This is On the Record. I'm Sheila Cast. Glad you're listening. Hope you'll join us again tomorrow.